Wicca and witchcraft are used interchangeably by many people. What's the difference?
Well, witchcraft is a practice, and Wicca is a religion. People who are members of the Wiccan religion are also witches, but there are witches who don't have a religious aspect to their craft.
Okay, with that in mind, we'll get to Wicca, but get to those witches who don't have a religious aspect to that. I assume that this runs the gamut from black magic to white magic to voodoo to hoodoo and everything that would be getting involved with powers that the rest of us would think are beyond us.
Pretty much. A witch is someone who uses spells and magical techniques. And they may run from purely mind techniques to things that involve herbalism or crystals or incantations or any number of other symbolic things. And some of them are things that you've heard of, most people have heard of voodoo dolls.
Mm-hmm.
In European witchcraft, you would normally call that a poppet. But the principle is the same, and it's neutral. In other words, it can be good, it can be bad, it depends on the practitioner. Just like electricity is neutral or fire is neutral, it can cook your dinner or you can burn yourself. The practice of witchcraft is a neutral practice that any number of sorts of people can do for their own individual aims.
Right, and I would assume that the knowledge is neutral. I would also assume that there's something of a blowback where if you're practicing the quote-unquote dark arts, that this probably comes back to you twice as bad. At least I sure hope so.
Absolutely. Some people believe it comes back three times as bad. I mean, there are forces of balance in our universe, and I think most of us have some experience with them. Life isn't always fair, but it usually kicks you in the behind when you need to be kicked.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting because nature, of course, is totally impersonal. And we'll look at it sometimes and have our own reasons for why there are such fires or why there are such floods. But nature itself is impersonal. So I could see that those who can tap into these forces also would be dealing with their take on an impersonal situation.
Well, nature can be hard to understand, and nature isn't always kind. In Wicca, we are nature worshippers, and so we work to embrace an understanding of life that is complex and shaded. You know, rain can be very good. Your crops need rain, but floods are not so much fun. Droughts are bad. So rain is something that you want in balance. And you don't want it to go away, even if it spoils your picnic, because a drought is a terrible thing. But an excess of it can be harmful. So in living the life of a nature worshiper, I'm living the life of someone who is trying to see the balance and embrace life that's complex and not expect it to be all sweet and good and
no, it isn't. As I say, it's impersonal. But is part of the tenets of this that you can in any way harness or control or change nature, or is it just a case of adapting to nature?
You know, there's a certain amount of, I mean, people do weather spells, for example. There's such a thing as a weather spell. And even when you are praying for the crops to grow well, you are putting your finger into nature's pie. When you are working magic to become pregnant, which a woman might do, you are manipulating nature, but you're working with nature. After all, human beings are also part of nature.
Okay, now all these things beg a lot of spell questions, so I'm going to go there and then get back to Wicca and things of that nature. But firstly, when we're talking about spells, I guess I should first ask, what's the difference between a spell and a curse?
A curse is a kind of spell where you are trying to do harm. It's not something that I do, but
right, I understood.
That's the definition.
Okay. But so, in other words, whether it's a spell or a curse would be basically the intent rather than anything else here?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It, it, for healing. You can do a healing spell.
Right.
You can do a job spell. You can do a fertility spell. You can do a curse spell. These are all different kinds of spells.
Okay. Now, is it possible, we're talking about casting spells perhaps on the weather, and I can see that because weather is in its own way a living, breathing entity of it itself. But is it possible, I was joking before that you're, you know, a technical writer, and I was hoping you could kind of cast a spell maybe on some computer equipment. Can you cast a spell on an inanimate object?
Well, sure. Look, when I teach magic, I try to explain to people that we can't do the impossible, but what we can do is we can push the improbable to make it probable.
Really?
Sure. That's what you're working with. You're working with probabilities. Things happen in the universe in a seemingly random way, right? And from time to time, we've all experienced synchronicity, meaningful coincidence.
Right.
Things that happen just at the right time. Right? You're in the right place at the right time. It could have happened that way, but it's great that it did because it didn't have to. That's probability. If you can push the forces of probability in your favor a little bit, you can have really great outcomes.
So, therefore, it's theoretically possible to cast a spell on yourself.
Yourself is usually the best target for a spell.
Okay, so how does a spell differ from, say, affirmations or positive thinking or, you know, guided imagery? What makes it a spell?
Well, I teach affirmations as part of what I consider spellcraft. I think that with affirmations, it's really a matter of intention. You're not thinking of it as magic. I think of it as magic. Part of what makes a spell different is we're a little more directed than most people who use, say, creative visualization.
Okay.
Like most teachers of creative visualization will say, don't imagine how you're going to get what you want. Whereas I teach that figuring out how it's going to come to you can, in fact, improve your results.
Now, that's interesting because when we're looking at casting spells, say, on other people, you know, the old love spells, which are so ever popular, love and money. All right. Now, never mind the wisdom of any of this, but is it possible to make somebody do something against their own will? So let's say that Jane wants to cast a spell on Dick. Can she actually do this?
Well, you know what the best way to do a love spell is? I mean, suppose that you don't know anything about magic, and you want a boyfriend. Okay?
Well, that's easy. And
you can hope that you get a boyfriend, but it's a lot better to spruce up your wardrobe, maybe get a makeover, maybe make sure that every time you leave the house you smell really nice, go to places where you have a high likelihood of meeting other people, this kind of thing. Those things help. Well, isn't that kind of casting a spell on yourself, except without the magic part?
Well, sure, but and that I understand. And if somebody were to say, I'm going to cast a spell so that I'll get the love of my life and leave an open-ended question as to who that might be, I'd say, well, I can see that in harmony with the universe and all that. But most people, maybe unevolved souls, if you will be more like, I've got my heart set on Joe Smith and only Joe Smith, and I'm going to create a spell to get Joe Smith. Now, with that in mind, my first question is, can somebody else's will be abridged by a spell?
To a certain degree, it can be done, and I don't have a lot of experience. I mean, I've heard of people doing it. I've seen other people do it. You know, people tell you stories